How do you feel about prom on a boat?
I would think I would be into it, but I've never really been on a boat. Like, not a boat like this. Like, I've never been on a cruise. I've never been on, like.
I'm a land dweller. I've never been on a boat.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 420, Promicide, which originally aired on May 2nd, 2001. My 16th birthday. What a gift.
It aired on your actual birthday?
It did.
Wow.
Complicated feelings.
A lot of broken hearts on May 2nd, 2001.
Did you do anything for your 16th birthday? Was it like a big thing for you?
I can't remember. I didn't have a huge party or anything. I didn't really have a lot of friends. I had maybe like a group of like four or five people. And I think they all hate, I think there was like two separate groups and they didn't really mesh. So what did you do?
My aunt and cousin lived near Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey. And so they had season passes. And with that, they got like free guest passes. So they gave us four free guest passes. And my mom paid for four passes. And I got to bring six friends and my mom to Six Flags Great Adventure for the day.
Oh my God. It's cool that your birthday falls in that time of year where theme parks are open.
Yeah. It was super fun.
What's the Dawson's drink for episode 420 Promicide?
We're drinking the prom night. It is peach schnapps, mezcal, lime juice, and hot honey. I don't know about it.
Well, I love hot honey. We said this last time. I love hot honey, but I don't like peach schnapps, so we'll see. Is schnapps back? Was it ever out? I feel like schnapps has been coming up a lot recently.
I feel like schnapps has always been underground. It's like Bob's Big Boy. It never really went away.
It's so funny because it was like one of those liquors we would have, like our parents had it in the cabinet. So like we would drink it as a teen. And then there was like that phase like, oh, like you drink schnapps? Like, oh, you know, like shaming schnapps. So I thought like it wasn't really something people liked, but apparently people really like schnapps.
But I feel like schnapps, Kahlua, like all those sweet things that your parents had in the cabinet that they weren't drinking regularly was perfect for a high school student. It was sweet. It didn't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I used to love a mudslide.
Oh my God. Yeah. Also, hot tip. I went to a Giants game last year and we were tailgating and someone in the parking lot made me hot chocolate with peppermint schnapps. It was the most delicious thing ever. I may have said that already on the podcast, but it bears repeating as
that
winter
does sound good.
Creeps in. Yeah.
It does
so
sound good.
All right. Enough about this. Tell us what the episode's about.
Episode 420, Promicide, begins at the Potter House where Bessie is making alterations to Joey's prom dress. Bessie thinks that Joey looks beautiful. Joey can't believe she's actually going to prom again given what happened last year. Pacey agrees with Bessie that Joey looks gorgeous. Once they're alone, Joey wants to focus on what will happen after prom, hinting at sex, but Pacey avoids the subject and instead promises that he will give her the best and most perfect prom night ever, even though he technically can't buy tickets because of what's going on at school. Joey volunteers to take care of the tickets herself, saying she doesn't need perfection, but Pacey insists. At Jen's, she, Jack, and Toby are talking about Toby's prom, which was a disaster. He told his date that she was gay, and she reacted by throwing herself at him, demanding sex. After Toby leaves, Jen insists that Jack ask Toby to prom. Jack refuses, not wanting to send Toby any mixed signals, and points out that he's supposed to go with Jen. Jen says that it's fine. She will go alone. She just wants Jack to go with Toby. Later, Jack calls Jen because Toby called him and said that Jen told him everything about Jack wanting to take him to prom. She immediately apologizes and reminds him that he's interfered in her life before. He did the same thing with Henry, and then he did it again with her college applications. Jack swears he isn't angry, and he says, "Why get mad when you can get even?" And just then, Jen's doorbell rings, and it's Drew Valentine, telling Jen the same thing that she told Toby about Jack. "Jack told me everything, and yes, I'd love to take you to prom." So Jack and Dawson are trying on tuxes, and they talk about how Pacey is handling all the prom planning, including the limo and the corsages. And then they discuss the possibility that Dawson and Gretchen might finally have sex for the first time on prom night. Meanwhile, Joey, Gretchen, and Jen are shopping for dresses. Gretchen is excited and tells the girls about her job interview in Boston and how she has the chance to work as a magazine editor. Joey and Jen get a moment alone for the first time since their trip to New York, and Jen admits that she's feeling sad, but she can't exactly explain why. Joey confides that Pacey doesn't seem that interested in her physically and isn't touching her anymore. Outside, Gretchen runs into Dawson, and in that brief window, she learned that she did not get the job because she lacks experience. She's crushed. Dawson comforts her and suggests they skip the prom, but she insists on giving him this memory because prom is important and everyone deserves it. At Dawson's, the Learys prepare for prom photos. Gail and Mitch gush over Dawson in his tux and take pictures of him with Lily. Joey arrives in her gown and Dawson is blown away by how beautiful she looks. The two share a warm moment about how far they've come. So Gretchen and Pacey then arrive, and Gretchen tells Dawson she's feeling much better. Pacey has the corsages, but when Gretchen and Joey open them, the flowers are dead. It turns out that Pacey forgot to refrigerate them because no one told him he had to. Pacey is frustrated, and everyone seems a little bit disappointed, but Joey tells him it's fine. The Learys suggest using flowers from Gil's garden instead. Dawson needles Pacey about the limo, and annoyed, Pacey says of course he handled the limo. He's not a total idiot. Jen arrives and sneaks a shot of vodka when no one is looking, and Drew arrives shortly thereafter. Everyone is shocked to see him. He asks to hold the baby, and everyone screams no. Jack, meanwhile, is off picking up Toby, and when Toby answers the door, he's struck by how good Toby looks, out of glasses and all dressed up. When they arrive at Dawson's, Jen tells Jack they have to call off this plan. He's won. She's clearly panicking. Toby has no idea about what's going on, and Jack tells Jen that they're going through with it. Joey reassures Pacey that she doesn't care about the details. She just wants to enjoy the night with him. But then the limo shows up, and it's a beat-up airport shuttle. Pacey is so disappointed in himself and feels defeated. At the prom, Jack and Toby grow even closer, but then Toby asks Jack to dance. Jack says that Toby is ruining the evening, insisting that the night was supposed to be platonic. Toby pushes back, pointing out that he saw the way Jack looked at him earlier when he picked him up, and this clearly isn't platonic anymore. Jen, meanwhile, is outside drinking with Drew and clearly getting drunk. He says that he hates to see her like this, and she says that he lives from other people's misery. And Drew says yes, but not hers. Jen confides in him that she saw her father in New York. Drew knows what this means since he was a witness to one of their fights before. She jokes about wanting to jump into the water and disappear. She later confesses about not wanting to return to New York to go to school, but she doesn't know how to tell anyone. Drew suggests Boston, since he'll be there too, and says he completely understands why Jen wouldn't want to go back to New York. Mm. Elsewhere, Gretchen admits to Pacey that she hates being at prom. She hates being surrounded by high schoolers. Joey attempts to get physical with Pacey once again, and Pacey refuses. She presses him to open up, but he insists that there's nothing left to say. He storms off, leaving her very upset. Pacey and Gretchen commiserate about how unhappy they are. He admits that he feels resentment towards Joey, but he doesn't know why, and she admits that she has this feeling like she has regressed. So meanwhile, inside, Dawson and Joey share a slow dance. Joey tells him that she's glad he has Gretchen and that his first time will be with her. Dawson confesses that he's been searching for someone to love as much as he loves Joey, but he realizes now that he never will. It's just different. She was his first love, and that's okay. Joey agrees that she feels the same, admitting that what she has with Pacey isn't what she had with Dawson. So Pacey and Gretchen return, and they see Dawson and Joey dancing. Neither is happy. But Pacey approaches and tells Joey this is the happiest he's seen her in months. She says it's just a dance, but things escalate. And Pacey grows louder, accusing her of treating him like a project, making him feel worthless, reminding him of his failures, and says he recoils from her touch. Joey begs him to stop. She's so embarrassed. It's in front of everyone. Everyone is staring, but he declares no. They're not trapped on this boat. They're trapped in their relationship. He says he feels like he's nothing when he's with her. Nothing. And she makes him feel that way. He storms off, leaving Joey humiliated and devastated. Elsewhere, Jack and Toby reconcile. Jack admits that what once scared him about Toby, his openness and him being so out, is now what draws Jack to him. They kiss and they share a dance. So later, Dawson finds Joey, who is beyond upset, and she says that Pacey humiliated her in front of everyone. And what's worse is that not one thing he said in there was true. She can't understand why he would say any of it. Dawson finds Gretchen, and she tells him that it's fine that he went off and comforted Joey, because she doesn't belong here. Dawson's confused, and she says that she needs to go back to college and figure out her life. Her place is not here. She needs to live her life, and Dawson needs to live his. She does not belong at prom, but he does. Dawson says he's not ready to let go, but Gretchen apologizes. It's over. She kisses him and ends it. So Pacey approaches Joey one last time, and he tells her, last year, he gave her things that no one else could. The wall, the summer on the boat, even the ski lodge night this year. But now he has nothing left to give. He admits that he's become a man who hates himself, someone who can't even look in the mirror. And her love makes it worse, because the more she loves him, the angrier he becomes at her, because he doesn't know who could ever love him. Joey demands to know how long he's felt this way, and Pacey says he doesn't know. But if they stay together, he'll keep taking his failures out on her. Pacey says their senior year is ending, and they're clearly on two different paths. This year, there will be no summer on a boat, no sunset, just Boston and Capeside. But Joey says they're less than an hour, it's not that big of a deal. And Pacey says they may be less than an hour apart, but those two are more than a world apart. Pacey tells her that she has spent her life trying to escape Capeside because she deserved better, but he is Capeside. Joey breaks, telling him, "You break my heart into 1,000 pieces and you say it's because I deserve better? Just leave me alone." And Pacey stands and walks away. So now we're on the ride home. Jen falls asleep on Drew's shoulder. Drew quietly refuses the $50 that Jack offered him to torment her the whole night. Dawson looks at Gretchen, knowing that their relationship is over. And in the back seat, we see that Pacey is just hollow. In the front seat, Joey stares forward, just as miserable. Every character rides home fractured in the wake of the disastrous prom. And that is episode 420, Promicide.
What an intense episode.
What an intense episode.
So sad. So sad. I feel like I have Pacey's monologue to Joey memorized. As soon as it came up, I was like saying it out loud.
The fight at the on the prom dance floor. Yeah, that was a really good. That was really good dialogue. That was a great performance.
Yeah, the way that he heightens and just is screaming by the end.
Yeah,
love that guy.
The emotional build.
Mm-hmm. Katie too. Joey's response, whatever. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Who wrote episode 420?
It was written by Maggie Friedman. She was first with us for 318 Neverland, which is the one where Ethan comes to spend the night, Buzz and his friends break up Dawson and Pacey's camping trip. She was last with us for 412 The Tay of Pacey, which is Pacey's birthday at the Witters.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. And this was a good one too.
So she
emotional
must
Pacey
get,
episodes.
I was just going to say that. She must get the emotional Pacey episodes.
And she does a great job.
What about director?
This episode was directed by Jason Moore, which we just talked about him in our reunion special. He directed the reunion. So he is still in the Dawson's verse, quite literally.
Really? Is this his first episode?
This is his first episode with Dawson's Creek. And actually, this episode was his very first directing credit ever, which I think is so cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. He went on to have episodes of One Tree Hill, Brothers and Sisters, Everwood, and Trophy Wife, among other things. He also directed Pitch Perfect, Sisters, that Amy Poehler and Tina Fey movie, and Shotgun Wedding with J-Lo and Josh Duhamel, again, among other features. He also has 3 acting credits, like small acting credits, but one of them is in an episode of Dawson's Creek in season 5. So we'll shout him out then too.
Oh, awesome. Now, was he on the crew before he was a director? Like, did he work his way up to director on Dawson's Creek?
I don't know. From his IMDb, it's not clear what his path was to directing.
Okay.
But this is his first of 3 episodes with Dawson. So he'll be back in season 5 and in season 6.
If his first credit directing was Dawson's Creek, and he had no previous crew credits, like he didn't work his way up, and he directed the reunion special, something tells me that he has a connection to Kevin or Greg or somebody, and he's like in with the Dawson's family.
Oh, also speaking of the reunion, real quick, with all these photos and videos coming out, I'm gonna need Meredith Monroe to drop her skincare routine. She looks amazing.
Amazing.
She's 55.
That's crazy.
She looks like she's 30.
All of the women look the same in the face. It's pretty nuts.
Is it lasers? Is it Botox? I need to know. Meredith.
I don't know. I mean, I even thought Mary Beth and Nina, like, they look the same.
No, they do. They do.
But Meredith, for sure.
Specifically. Because she was 30 when she started on the show. It's nuts. We can move on, but that really struck me. I was like, damn, girl.
What about guest cast shout out?
There's only one new person in this episode. His name is Steve Vernon, and he's playing the limo driver. He has one line at the end. He has 17 acting credits from 1992 to 2019. And the most recent is gun store owner in the Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, Kathy Bates Netflix movie, The Highwayman.
It was so funny because I was like, there's no one to give it to. I totally blocked the limo driver out. Did he have lines?
As I was watching the episode, I just wrote in my notes, no one knew. And then last line of the thing is him.
Oh, that's right. He asked them if they want to go to a party.
So, yeah, shout out. Shout out, Steve Vernon.
Love you, Steve.
Love to you, Steve.
Music moment.
Nothing is like music moment-y for me, but the Katie Lang song, what is it called? When We Collide. That one spoke to me.
I was going to say Dido.
But do you associate it with this episode?
No, but I associate Dido with Roswell and a little bit Dawson, just this era. Dido has a grip on me, like a hold on me.
I had that album with
Isabel. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it is kind of timeless music, like we were saying with Family Circus by Micah Green last
time. For
sure. You could just put it on. It could be released today and it would be a banger.
Whatever happened to Dido?
I don't know. I wish she'd come back.
That song was called Take My Hand by Dido. And again, the other one is When We Collide by Katie Lang. Both good.
Take My Hand was also on Passions.
Mm.
NBC's Passions featuring Tabitha and Timmy.
Timmy? Yeah.
Timmy the Doll and Tabitha the Witch. But, you know, like, they didn't really use songs on daytime a lot, like commercial songs.
So
and
it popped out.
It was Teresa at prom. I think it was, You know what? That could be a lie. I think I'm lying. I think I'm thinking of a different song.
Whatever song it was, it really made an impact.
Because I just started picturing Teresa on the prom boat. What song was it? But I think the song was on Dawson's Creek. That's where I'm getting mixed up. Whatever.
You'll have to report back.
It's 7 in the morning. I don't know. What about past versus present?
This isn't necessarily about my view of this episode then and now, but this is so the summer I turned pretty coded. The summer I turned pretty ripped this off.
For sure.
Conrad messed up the corsage, ruined Belly's prom, and then fought with her and broke up with her at the prom.
That's all I could think about during the summer I turned pretty's prom.
I guess I didn't. Maybe the details of the corsage and like all the little things that were going wrong didn't jump out to me. Obviously, the fight and the breakup, but it's like beat by beat almost.
Yeah, I definitely think The Summer I Turned Pretty is very Dawson's Creek inspired.
For sure.
I would say Dawson's Creek, Twilight, Taylor Swift. There's some like, you know, amalgam there. I mean, there's so many similarities. I totally feel you.
Yeah, I'm doing a rewatch because once The Summer I Turned Pretty ended, I wanted to go back because I knew there were a lot of callbacks in the last few episodes to the first few episodes. Mike is making a face because he can't believe that.
No, I'm just saying, God bless you. I will never rewatch seasons 2 and 3.
Honestly, in doing it this way, because I was watching it week to week.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really binged it. And binging season 2, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Season 3 is a little rough.
I really love season 1. I'll watch it. I'll rewatch it. I watch moments. But seasons 2 and 3, it went left bad.
Still gives me the feels. But all of that to say, in watching it so recently and then watching this episode, I was like, oh my gosh, look at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
What about you?
My past versus present was just, I never associate this episode with Gretchen and Dawson's breakup. Just obviously I picture it as Pacey and Joey's breakup. But so watching it, I was like, oh my God, is this the end of Gretchen and Dawson? And then watching it now, I'm left wondering, are Dawson and Joey headed back together? Which I also never really picked up on. I always just associate it with Joey Pacey.
Completely agree.
Just this episode had a lot more going on in it than I recalled.
And you perceived the first time around.
Perceived.
Tons. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Crack it open. Bessie is really a Jane of all trades. She's a tailor.
She runs the B&B.
I don't know if I would trust her with pins if I couldn't see what she was doing, to be honest. She's so flighty. She's like, oh no, I forgot to pick up Alexander. Alexander's a baby, ma'am. Gotta go get him.
Oh my God, that's so funny. And Joey's like, I don't really want to go to prom. Last year wasn't great. Pacey wants to give her the best prom ever. He can't buy the tickets because he's academically a junior. So he can't buy tickets to senior prom.
Can't buy the tickets. And then he rips her dress. The first of a long string of snafus.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a mess.
He's a mess. And his hair, oh man. I went back to earlier in the season because I was looking back to figure something out, which I'll get to later. His hair was so good at the beginning of the season. And it is so schlubby now. I hate this hair.
I loved his buzz cut at the beginning of the season. But this hair, yeah, it's really not the fantasy.
But it is kind of appropriate. Like, he's obviously depressed. He's obviously spiraling. He's not taking care of himself. He doesn't know what's going on. So, like, he's not going to get haircuts. regular haircuts.
Absolutely. It totally tracks.
Yeah.
So here's where we're at. Joey's looking forward to after prom sex. Pacey's dodging her. He wants to give her the perfect prom.
Yes.
Those are the takeaways. He rips the dress.
And then we cut to Toby and Jack and Jen's bedroom with Jen. And Toby's chronicling his previous sexual harassment for them. And they laugh and they laugh.
I was very uncomfortable during this scene when he's like, she touched my crotch.
Yeah. He's like, I told her I was gay. And so she touched my crotch and said, not after I'm done with you, or something to that effect. Yikes.
Mm-mm, no, ma'am.
But they're cracking up. They love it.
The 90s.
Classic 90s, early 2000s.
Then he leaves and Jen is like, just ask him to the prom. And Jack is like, I can't because he likes me. And if I ask him to the prom, it'll send mixed signals. And she's like, every other word out of his mouth is prom. Prom, 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 prom.
You know how I feel about Jen trying to push these two together. And I still felt that way in this scene. I was like, Jen, lay off. Let it happen if it's going to happen.
For sure. But I like Jack's callback. He was like, remember last year with Barbara Johns?
Yeah.
Last year's prom snafu. Like
anti-prom.
I just want to go with you.
And they should go together. They love each other. They should have gone together. But the Easter egg that I want to bring up the reason that I went back and looked at previous episode, the photo of the guy wearing that El Hasa Motor Corps Fez hat. We talked about it and I couldn't remember what episode we talked about it in, and I still don't know. But that photo used to be on Pacey and Gretchen's fridge. And that is the hat that's on the shelf in Pacey and Gretchen's kitchen. And now it's on Jen's wall.
Isn't it the episode where Pacey's ordering pizza from the Spanish restaurant?
Oh, maybe the Portuguese pizza place. Yeah. What episode is that?
It's 416.
Yeah, you're right. In 416 Mind Games, the photo of that guy, much bigger, is on Pacey and Gretchen's fridge. So long story short, we need the backstory of this guy. Who is this guy? Why is he so important? Why is there a picture of him in everybody's rooms? Is he on the crew? I need to know.
I love it. Now we do there's a little intercutting. Jack and Dawson are doing a boys' day looking for their tuxes. And then Gretchen, Jen, and Joey are doing like a girls'. Well, Jen and Gretchen are getting their dresses. Joey's, as we know, is being altered by Bessie. Jack and Dawson discuss how Pacey's in charge of the corsages, the limos, all the planning. And then Jack asks Dawson if he plans to have sex with Gretchen after prom, and he dodges it.
Two things about this. I love when they do an intercut of the girls and the guys.
Love it.
So good.
Love it.
Joey being the friend who isn't looking for a dress, but still going with her friends and sitting on the floor and weighing in and like taking things off the rack and hanging them to them is so real. I have done that so many times. My friends have sat on the floor of dressing rooms so many times, weighing in on stuff. It was just very true to life. I loved it.
And it sounds like Joey and Jen are kind of having their first
debrief.
Yeah, debrief since New York. And Jen is depressed and New York kind of screwed her up, messed her up. And Joey says the whole Pacey, like, he's not physical with me, something's off kind of thing.
Yeah. Jen admits she's sad and she tells Joey, you probably just have to pursue him. That's the key. Joey's like, all right, I'll try.
Gretchen does not get the job in Boston. She's very excited when she's trying on the dress because she's like, life is looking up. I'm going to go to prom with Dawson. I'm up for a job in Boston. And then within seconds, minutes, she finds out she did not get it due to not having a college degree and not having experience. And she's very upset. But as we talked about last time,
not being qualified at all whatsoever.
You can't just stroll into an editor position.
And I love the way that they justified that she knew. She's like, the woman paged me and I called her back and she told me that I didn't get the job.
Not a page. Do you know anyone who had a beeper?
Oh yeah. And I wanted one.
People our age?
Yeah. My friends.
That's crazy. I never knew anyone who had
especially
a beeper.
Shout out to Megan. Megan was attached to her pager for sure.
That's crazy. You're 2 years younger than me. Why did you guys have pagers?
There was zero reason for any of us to have pagers. Zero. I was like, Mom, I want my friends to be able to page me HELLO or whatever. 07734.
What if there's an emergency?
Oh my God.
I need my pager.
So ridiculous.
Jersey. Despite Gretchen not getting the job, she's still very determined to give Dawson his, you know, rite of passage prom night. So the Witters are kind of on a similar track. Each one kind of wants to give Dawson and Joey, respectively, their perfect prom night, each for different reasons. But I thought it was really interesting how those Witters are kind of on the same track. The perfect night to their partner.
Despite not feeling it themselves.
Despite their inner demons, and we're off to the races. We're off to Promicide.
So then Jen goes to Toby's house and tells him, like, look, Jack wants to bring you to prom. He's too insecure. It's crazy that someone so attractive could be so insecure. But he wants to take you, and you should just call him and let him know you'd love to go.
Jen is hysterical.
I hated this until the scene between her and Jack, and then I felt a little bit better about it.
Hilarious.
What's your take on this?
I just kind of took it as like she didn't want to go, so she's trying to pawn off.
Oh, really? That she doesn't want to go to prom at all? She wants to stay at home and wallow?
Yeah, what was your take?
Interesting. I think she's just really trying to push the two of them together in a way that I hate. But I thought she still would go alone. I really did buy that when she said that to Jack.
But I wonder if that the conversation is like what tilts her to go. But you're saying you thought she was going to go the whole time.
I did, but you're making me question it now.
Now, I was thinking of Henry during this scene because...
I wasn't.
I was thinking of that because I was like, wait, didn't this just happen? Like, this just happened. And then it was like, oh, it was when Jack was doing this with Henry about her. And then they bring it up later.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to. Later when she's like, need I remind you, you did this to me with Henry. And then I was like, you know what? Great point. All's forgiven.
You know what? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know what? Hell yeah.
Go get him, girl. Go get him.
Pacey and Joey on the bed alone. No guests in the Potter B&B.
Yeah. She's like, my family's gone. Bessie's gone. Bodie's gone. Alexander's gone. No guests here. You know what that means? We're all alone.
She wants to get banged. But he won't. He doesn't want to. It's really weird and awkward.
It's really weird. And she tries to kiss him and he's like, you know what I would love? A turkey sandwich. Yeah, he's just like completely dodging her advances. They both have shoes on the bed. We've talked about it.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I really cannot wrap my head around that.
These teens, they've got bigger fish to fry.
The Jack and Jen phone scene is hilarious.
So good. Jack calls Jen and she's like, look, you can't be mad at me. Remember what you did with Henry? You orchestrated it and you filled out my college applications and he's like, I'm not mad at you. And she's like, you're not? He's like, I mean, I was surprised, but the way that they have Jack, the way he's sitting in that chair, the lighting in the room, it's like noir. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing.
It's very perfect. And it's so funny how, like you said, she immediately goes on the, you know, defensive and he's like, no, it's fine. And then someone's at Jen's door, right on cue. Jack's looking at his watch.
He is looking at his watch.
It's Drew Valentine.
The perkiest Drew Valentine we've ever seen.
And he says, well, Jack says, imagine my surprise when Toby said, Jen told me everything. Yes, I want to go to prom with you. So when Drew shows up at Jen's, he says, Jack told me everything. Yes, I'll go to prom with you. So they match the language. It was very funny.
And Jen is just dumbfounded. Gail and Mitch are taking pictures of Dawson outside. Mitch is holding Lily. Gail really got that body back, let me tell you.
That's what I was going to say.
She is exactly what she looked like before having a baby last episode.
The body is tea.
Oh my God. Nuts.
The body is tea. Back to you, Gail.
Back to you, body.
You know what someone posted on her Instagram? What? Which is such a good point. She said that she was mad at Gail and Mitch for naming their baby after Joey and Bessie's mom without asking permission. Because what if Joey and Bessie wanted to name their kids Lily? And I was like, I have never thought of that in 30 years. But now I see it. Now I can't unsee it. To not ask.
Especially Bessie, who already has a kid and might have another kid soon. But I guess they're not family. So maybe that's like, I don't know.
Dawson and Joey have a nice little moment because Joey arrives. She's looking great. You know, he says, what does he say?
Given everything that's happened in the last 12 months since last year's prom, I'm really glad we ended up here.
Yeah.
Joey's like, me too. And Dawson says, God, we're so healthy. It makes me want to puke.
I love it. I love where they are.
It's cute.
And I also just love how the theme starts. Like as soon as she walks up in that Dawson Joey theme. Mm. I mean, I'm a sucker for that theme.
You better believe they played it at the reunion.
Did they? During the table read?
Sure did. Yeah. This is a great scene and it's laying new foundation, a new Joey and Dawson foundation. They're moving forward. They're over it. They're back.
They're back, baby. The old Dawson Joey.
The old Dawson Joey.
Gretchen's like, I feel great. I'm here. Pacey gave me my corsage on your behalf. And then they open the corsages and they're dead.
Dead.
Like Pacey's soul.
Dead. That's exactly what I was going to say. dead as the light in Pacey's eyes.
And they're like, Pacey, when did you pick these up? Did you refrigerate them? And he's like, yesterday. No one told me I had to refrigerate them.
Which is like a great point.
Sure.
He's a teenage boy. Why would he know that?
Yeah, why would he know? Like, that's, I'm like on his side on this.
Yeah. And it all works out fine because Gail has a yard full of flowers. She goes and gets her shears and they have new corsages in no time.
She goes and gets a safety pin. She goes and gets some yarn.
Yeah. My maybe favorite part of this episode is when Drew Valentine comes up and they're all like, what? Because none of them know. Jack's not there yet. Jen's not there yet. And they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, ooh, a baby. Can I hold it?
And they all scream no in unison. It's so like, funny.
No, it's so funny.
It's so funny.
That line to me, it took me out. It's so random. Ooh, a baby. Can I hold it?
No. Now, what are your thoughts on Dawson? What are your thoughts on tux styles? Do you like a long tie and a tux? Do you just like the classic tux bow tie?
You know, this is really interesting because I just went to my first ever black tie wedding. And we talked about this nonstop. Like people were like, does it have to be a bow tie? Can it be a long tie? Does it have to be a tux? Can it be a suit? So what everyone landed on was a few people wore tuxes, but a lot of people just wore black suits. Some people wore black suits with a bow tie and some people wore black suits with a long black tie. And I know that's not exactly what you're asking me, but it's just so weird that this has been a part of my life for the last month. My partner always says if he's wearing a tux, he wants to be wearing a bow tie because you have so few opportunities to wear a bow tie in life. What's your take?
I have an event coming up where I probably will rent a tux and I just, it's so not my style to do a, like a bow tie, a tuxedo bow tie situation. I do think at my prom, I did wear something more like Dawson, obviously, probably because he wore his like this because I wanted to be him because I was crazy. I think I did do a long tie tuxedo. Not I think I did. So I don't know. I don't know if I've ever worn a bow tie tuxedo.
I think you can absolutely wear a long tie if that's your preference.
We'll see.
Can't wait. Please report back.
Dawson says to Pacey, as long as you didn't screw up the limo, did you? And Pacey's like, no, I got the limo. A little bit of tension there. A little bit of tension.
Mm-hmm.
Pacey's spiraling, fighting with everybody.
He's really spiraling. Yeah, it's nuts.
Jen, first of all, Michelle Williams and Jen look amazing when she walks up.
And it's very like left of center. Like her dress isn't prom-y, but it's perfect.
Well, her walking up and fixing like the boob strap is
like pulling
just,
it up.
Yeah, it's just so quintessential Jen and just hysterical.
And also, I think the clip in her hair is stolen from Grams. It's like the kind of clips that Grams wears.
Drew and Jen are so funny. Drew's like, you're angry. It's adorable. I love it.
Before that scene, Jack goes to pick up Toby. You never want to talk about Toby.
Who?
Tony? Cody?
He goes Toby. To pick up Toby and he's taken aback by how good and different Toby looks in a tux and without his glasses.
Yeah, it's a real she's all that moment. Like he does not look much different.
One of my favorite tropes is the glasses to contacts makeover. I live for it. When a character takes off their glasses and gets contacts and then someone suddenly finds
and they're like, hot. takes people's breath away.
Like Clark Kent to Superman. Yeah. It's amazing.
Exactly. Who are you? Where's Toby?
Lainey Boggs, is that you?
It's really good. And Jen confronts Jack in front of Toby, so they're kind of speaking into code. Like, I don't think the punishment fit the crime. And he's like, well, I do. And maybe before you performed this certain action, you should have thought of the consequences. And Toby's like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, nothing.
Now that you mention it, there were a few moments in this episode directorially, stylistically, that seemed new and fresh. Like when the limo pulls up and all of them kind of walk into the same frame and walk towards the limo.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving like Avengers Assemble energy.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like an interesting shot.
Not something we normally do.
Not something we normally do. Before that, Pacey approaches Joey with the corsage that Gail has whipped together. And he's like, you look great. You can't even tell why I ripped your dress. And he says, tonight's going to be good, I promise. But it's almost like he's trying to convince himself of it.
Yes.
This is very interesting delivery. And then the limo's here and it's a rundown, dilapidated airport limo.
Well, also just before that, Jen sneaks off to the side of the house and downs half a airplane bottle of vodka.
I love that. I love that for her. But this goes to, she's seemed off since New York. There's something going on with her. I think she's wanting to get out of prom when she tried to pawn Jack off on Toby. Like, she's in a depressed, spirally, she and Pacey are spiraling.
And Ben, to your previous comment, a 1950s rust bucket airport limo pulls up and they're like, what the hell? Pacey ordered the worst vehicle for them.
What do you think happened there? Like, he just asked for a limo, didn't specify, or what do you think?
Probably looked up limo in the yellow pages and just called the first number, maybe. I don't know. But what a weird time. How would you even go about that?
Ordering a limo? Yeah, I guess you'd call.
I mean, not to be like, how do you function in the 2000s? But like, I guess you have to look in the yellow pages or ask people for recommendations, right? He's trying to take all of this on himself.
Yeah, I'm sure he did the yellow pages. But I mean, also, I don't want to sound mean, but why would you put Pacey in charge of this when like he doesn't have the best track record with stuff like this?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, he wanted to take all of this on to make this the perfect night for her, but also he resents her and hates doing it. So it's just like, it seems out of character for all of them to be like, yeah, Pacey's got it under control.
This was a job for Andy McPhee. Okay.
Oh, God, imagine. Imagine she popped out of the limo and was like, Pacey, you're an idiot. And then a new limo pulls up and she's like, I've got it handled. Skin glowing.
I wish she came back for this episode.
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
Well, we're in the drugstore, the little gas station, Quickie Mart. Drew wants Gretchen to buy alcohol. She says, no, Jack and Toby are bonding. They have more in common than they think. They both like snowballs, which, like, I feel like everyone likes snowballs, or no?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Do you?
Yeah.
They have coconut on the outside?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't? I love all of those. I mean, I don't eat it because it's terrible, you know, but.
Yeah, yeah. All those tasty cake adjacent things.
Yeah, but like, who doesn't love those? And then Dawson gets condoms. And who does he run into? Don't you know? It's smack into Joey. Josephine Potter.
Drops the condoms.
I want to throw the wrapper away.
God. Two things. I love that Gretchen's like, how are you going to buy that? And Drew says, your advanced age is about to come in handy, my dear.
Okay, wait, we need to talk about this. So we're saying Gretchen is 22.
She said she graduated 4 years ago.
Isn't that a retcon?
What's that?
Retcon is when you rewrite something retroactively.
Oh, interesting.
Wasn't she a year or two older?
This is a good question.
I thought she went to college for 1 year, got pregnant her sophomore year, and came back. Anyway, I'm sure people will let us know, but 4 years, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because now I do see why the age difference between Dawson and Gretchen would be a big deal. I thought they were 17 and 19. They're 17 and 22.
I think she might be 21, but still. Because she is 21 because she got into that club, for sure. I mean, she's 21 or older.
Right. You're right. Okay, so she's been 21 this whole time. That's crazy.
But I don't know what they said in the beginning of her story arc, like, in terms of timing. I don't know if they it could be a Jack and Andy situation where they suddenly became in the same grade.
I was shocked when all this was going on because I was like, she cannot be 21.
Also, something to shout out is when Toby and Jack are having that snowballs conversation. Shout out to Jenna, who hit us up on Instagram a while ago and told us that she is an extra in this scene. She's talking to her fake mom at the register and then walks by. She wrote us and she said, hi, longtime Dawson's Creek fan here, and I just found your podcast. Binging it now and loving the commentary. It's so nostalgic, and in my head, we are friends. I mean, Jenna, we are friends. I was excited to see that you hadn't covered my favorite two truths and a lie topic, that I was an extra in episode 420 Promicide. It was by far the coolest experience of my teenage life. My parents flew me to Wilmington for my 16th birthday. Oh my God, Jenna, this aired on my 16th birthday. That's crazy.
That's crazy. We were just talking about this. What a gift.
Yeah. What a gift. She goes on to say, you can see me in the convenience store at the beginning, nodding my head to my TV mom. Also, Joey and Pacey forever. I mean, yeah, this is a rough episode for them, but how cool is that?
That is cool, but I feel like I need to know more. So this was, I know you don't have the answers. So we think she flew there for her birthday and then somehow like got to set and they were like, do you want to be an extra?
I don't know.
Interesting. I'd love to hear more about that, how it came to be.
Yeah. Jenna, let us know. Hit us up. But yeah, really cool.
Jen and Pacey are drinking in the car. Well, Jen is drinking. She offers Pacey a drink. He says no. Doug's going to give him a breathalyzer later.
Yeah. His life is falling apart, to be honest.
And then Joey's like, condoms.
Wait, Jen's like, I have 11 more in my bag. Jen has brought all of the airplane bottles of vodka to prom.
I mean, thank God.
Were people drinking at your prom? Was that a thing?
I'm sure.
But like, were you aware of it or...
No.
That's how it was for us too. Like I'm sure somebody or some people were drinking, but we didn't drink at all. And I don't think we even talked about drinking, and we did drink in life. So I don't know why. Like, it's weird. It was just good, clean fun.
Did you guys take a limo?
No.
Your date drove you?
Good question. I guess so. Or like two couples would go together.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our proms was 4 minutes from my house. So renting a limo was
a bit much. And then did you guys go home after prom or did you guys like go to a hotel?
We went home, but senior year, I mean, everyone participated in prom weekend to whatever their parents would allow them to. Mine would only let me go senior year. So the next day we went to, actually, you know what? I think I've talked about this on the pod too, but I had Saturday detention the day after my senior prom. So I had to stay in town, go to Saturday detention, and then go down to the shore where prom weekend was after. So I'm sure people went Friday night and stayed Friday night. And then I had to come the next day.
You did talk about this. What'd you have detention for again?
Being late.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, not fine, yeah. But you didn't do anything super bad.
No, but I probably should have learned to manage my time better and not have to be in Saturday detention.
You know what's funny? Just thinking like from your parents' point of view, people going down on Friday night, I don't even think, and I think this has come up when I've like had discussions with you and your family. I don't even think as a parent I'd be concerned about like the sleepover aspect. I'd be more concerned about the driving, the drunk driving. That's what would be on my mind.
Totally.
Like, you want to go and spend the night at senior week or whatever, I'll drive you there. Because you always hear those stories about how there's accidents to senior week and...
Absolutely.
I don't know. But, like, the sleeping over, I guess you really should be concerned with that, too. But I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, they're going to do what they're going to do, whether they're at a hotel or in somebody's house.
I know. Yeah, it's so weird. Anyway, Joey's really awkward when she sees that Dawson's buying condoms, but then Jack is, like, mouthful, holding all these food and beverages. He's like... We got to go. We're going to miss the boat. And then that's the first time we find out that prom is on a boat and it's going to leave the dock and they're all going to kind of be stuck together.
How do you feel about prom on a boat?
I would think I would be into it, but I've never really been on a boat. Like, not a boat like this. Like, I've never been on a cruise. I've never been on, like...
I'm a land dweller. I've never been on a boat.
I've been on a kayak in my Joey Potter era. I've kayaked. I've gone on like a little like catamaran kind of a thing, but I've never been on a big boat where there could be like an event. This part reminded me of The Hills and one of the season premieres. Heidi and Lauren got on a boat together.
Oh gosh.
And they were stuck and they couldn't get off. And Lauren was like, I'm stuck on a boat with Heidi and Spencer. Anyway, I'm sure someone will get that reference. Heidi and Lauren always had two conversations a season, one in the season premiere and one in the season finale. And then during the season, they would be kept apart. And it's so funny because people now, like The Hills, Laguna, people have talked about how the show was kind of heavily produced and faked and stuff. But I worked at one of the events where the finale was already filmed, but there was like an MTV party to do like intros and outros of commercial. Like, we're back. It's like Hills finale.
Sure, night.
I worked that event. And over walkie, they were saying that we had to keep Lauren and Heidi apart. We had to keep Spencer and Holly, which was Heidi's sister, apart. So like, I do think the rifts were real.
Yeah, sure. But they were played up or something.
Well, anyway, this prom boat reminded me of Heidi and Lauren.
Fair enough.
But looking back, did they steal it from this? Who knows?
Well, I love Gretchen's dress. I think it's amazing and timeless and doesn't really feel like, I mean, it's obviously a prom dress, but it's elevated. She's 22, you know?
Yeah, I really like her dress too.
Great. I'm glad we agree.
I say that because I meant to ask you about it when I first saw it. And I was like, oh, shit. But Gretchen, like, there's one thing about Gretchen. She's going to slay the fashion game.
That's true. We know that. I don't even know why I'm commenting on it. It goes without saying.
She is 22 and she has amazing fashion taste. I mean, she's so much better than these little teens.
Amen.
These little teenagers with their flat chests and their flat butts. Gretchen is a woman, okay?
We find out that Jack paid Drew $50 to follow Jen around all night, and Drew intends on getting paid, so he's not going to leave her side. Then Jack and Toby are having a conversation at the table about their previous crushes, and Jack says that Ethan was his first crush, and he looked like a Disney prince, which the whole time he was saying that, I was picturing you.
Yeah, okay.
Being like, yeah, right.
Disney prince of darkness.
And then Toby's like, oh, I totally understand. My first crush looked like Ted Danson. And Jack is like, isn't he like 50? He's like a young Ted Danson.
And Jack's like, okay, Becker, that was funny.
It was funny. Joey pulls Pacey aside and tries to jump his bones. And he again backs off. And she's like, what is going on? And he's like, everything's fine.
Yeah, all I kept thinking about was how her aqua like sash, what would you call this? Like a throw?
Like a shawl kind of thing.
A shawl. That's what I was looking for. Her aqua shawl like matches the aqua wall decor, like the wall coverings. And it was just a big time for aqua, I guess.
Well, obviously, of course. It's not quite blue. It's not quite green. You can't pin it down.
Joey could have done a little bit more with her hair. I mean,
the low pony is not giving prom for sure.
Go on, girl. Give us nothing.
A low pony can be very sleek, but this is not it. This is not the version.
Sure. I mean, it looks great, but this is prom. You're going to be showing your great grandkids these photos in theory. I don't even know where mine are.
Absolutely not. So Pacey admits that he just wants to be who Joey wants him to be. And Joey's like, that doesn't matter to me. And she's like, stop acting and just talk to me. And he said, maybe I don't have anything left to say. Ooh, this is like our first inclination that something's really, really wrong.
It's a scathing conversation that kind of builds. She's annoyed by his lack of intimacy. It's a nasty fight, but it gets worse. And Pacey's not okay. Joey realizes something's really wrong. Joey and Austin finally get to talk after the condom moment. And she's like, how long has it been going on? And he says, well, it hasn't yet, but maybe tonight. She's like, are you in love with her?
And she goes, you know, this might be weird to say, but I'm happy your first time is going to be with Gretchen. It is weird. It is weird, Joey, for you to say that.
As long as it's not with Jen.
Yeah, exactly. Also, we cut from that Pacey scene to the Jen scene. Both Pacey and Jen are falling apart in very different ways. She's drunk. She's saying she's queen of the world. Drew's trying to get her under control. She pulls out a vodka and she's like about to drink it. And he's like, I think you've had enough. Let me have that. And she gives it to him and he's a little surprised how easy it was. And then she pulls another one out of her purse. She's got antics. But Drew's trying to take care of her in a very Drew way.
Look, I love Drew Valentine. If there are no Drew Valentine supporters, then I am dead, or whatever that saying is.
That's profound.
During the Joey Dawson conversation, he says something like, you know, I think I am ready to sleep with Gretchen. I've always wanted to kind of find someone the way I felt about you, but I realize that's never going to happen. Like, you're my first love. And she's like, I feel the same way. Like, with Pacey, it's just different. What you and I have is special.
Yeah.
What is happening? We're off the rails.
We really are. We're on a boat. We're off the rails. Pacey finds Gretchen and she's drinking a small bottle of wine or something. And he's like, where did you get that? And she's like, from a football bro, whatever. And they have a conversation about how Gretchen feels crazy. She's too old to be here. She didn't just feel too old to be here. She felt old. And Pacey's like, well, that's ironic because technically I'm a junior, so I'm not even supposed to be here. She's like, wow, look at us. You're too young and I'm too old. They're both having a time.
I love the comparisons being drawn. I love the witters.
And this is the first scene where Pacey admits that he's mad at Joey. Like, resentment is growing.
He's mad at her. He resents her. He doesn't know why.
And then Jack and Toby are laughing at the table. They've been talking all night. And Toby's like, want to dance? And Jack is like, whoa. Why would you ever think I want to dance with you at prom? You are misinterpreting.
You think I want to dance with you at a dance? Whoa.
Whoa. How did you get there? Yeah. So he's like, it's platonic. I've been telling you all along. How many times do I have to tell you? And Toby's like, nothing about what's happening tonight has been platonic. We're laughing. We're joking. We're flirting. I don't know what you're afraid of, but it's not my fault. And he leaves.
Yeah.
And by leaves, I mean goes outside because they're on a boat and he can't actually go anywhere.
They're on a boat. No one's going anywhere.
Nowhere. And Dawson had asked Joey if she wanted to dance. And Joey was like, it's our senior prom. Absolutely. We should dance. And they're dancing. And Pacey sees them from afar. And we have kind of the reverse of the anti-prom moment where Dawson saw Pacey and Joey dancing and reacted. Now Pacey is seeing Dawson and Joey dance.
Yeah, and he confronts them.
And we don't quite know how he's going to react. It's hard to read his face in that moment.
Yeah, I like that he walks up first and we get his reaction, and then Gretchen walks up next and she kind of sees what he's gazing at. They both have their own reactions to it. Pacey confronts them and she's like, we know this isn't about Dawson. There's something going on with you. We were just dancing. And he's like, oh yeah, just dancing. That's what it looked like to me. But you know what? I just noticed This is the happiest you've been all night. This is the happiest you've been in months.
And the worst part is, I don't care. Brutal. And she's like, I don't know what's happening, but it isn't about me. This is about you. And he says, it is about you. It's about you and how you make me feel when I'm with you. I feel like I'm stupid and I'm worthless and I'm never right. And you know what I realized? That is not my fault. That is not my fault. Because when I'm with you, it's poor Pacey. He didn't get into college. And stupid Pacey forgot the limo and ripped the dress and messed up the corsage. And Joey's like, I told you I didn't care about any of that. And he says, but I want you to care. I want you to care. I don't want you to just accept it. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not trapped on this boat. You and I are trapped in this relationship. And I can't take it anymore, Joey. When I'm with you, I feel like I am nothing. I feel like I'm nothing. And that's why I flinch when you go to touch me. And that's why I never touch you. Why I don't even think about it. Because when I start, it just reminds me that I'm not good enough. And she says, are you done? And he says, done? Oh no, I'm just getting started. And she says, you can stop right now. You can go to hell. And she leaves.
Did you memorize that?
No.
I was like, oh my God, because you said it came back to you when you were watching.
I could have done a very convincing version of it, but I did go back and actually write it down because I wanted to get it right. I felt like I owed that to you.
This scene is unreal. First of all, I think it's brilliantly written because it all tracks and it all makes sense. And I don't think it makes Pacey a bad person. And I don't think it makes Joey a bad person. I just think it's inherently who they are, and this is something they've been writing towards. But to have this moment, I think it pays off, and I also think it makes sense, and I feel like this is where it's been headed.
Yeah.
And that's just writing wise. Acting wise, Joshua Jackson is insane in this scene in a good way.
Yes.
Like the way he completely transforms, like his face, his coloring.
Yeah, he gets so red. He's so angry.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is such a good performance.
And by Katie Holmes, too. Her, like, she's obviously devastated, but it's very understated. It's really great.
And just everyone watching, oh my God, it's so awful.
I know. That's why it's the perfect build, because at first they're on the dance floor. So they're in a crowd of people who are dancing and nobody's paying attention to them. And then as it escalates, more and more people start paying attention until the end where everyone is looking at them. It's really great.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. Speaking of like past versus present, back then you were just like, oh, Pacey, such a jerk. And now it's like, you see more. I see just how it's not really about Joey. It's about him. It's all of his self-hatred and insecurity. And it's like really sad.
It really is. And like we've mentioned a million times this season, they have had a rocky relationship. Post-boat, post-summer, it has not been smooth sailing. No pun intended.
We did hear, though, someone argue that all their little arguments and the fact that they were able to communicate and overcome them does mean that they actually do have a strong relationship and it was not rocky. That's a real relationship. And I see that point, too. I think our point was we just don't remember it that way.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We don't remember them having this many fights or bickerings.
Jen is about to go the way of Abby Morgan. She's standing on the rail of the boat and Drew is like, honey, the water is cold. You got to come back. And she's like, meh. And then she slips and he catches her and pulls her back over. And then she pukes off the side of the boat.
I loved the Abby Morgan almost like illusion.
Yeah.
Drunk at the edge of the water. She says something like, I just want to dive in and disappear. Sounds so good. I was just thinking of Abby.
For sure. And then there's an intercut of Dawson comforting Joey. And Joey's like, I just want to go home. And then Drew comforting Jen. And Jen's like, I hate New York. I don't want to go back. I'm having a tough time, basically. And he's like, hey, have you ever thought about Boston for school? You know, it's a great city, up and coming, and I'm going to be there. And she's like, oh, there's a strike against it. But it's very jovial. They're having a moment.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really say it, but I think all of Jen's depression and anxiety and drinking throughout this episode was like, she doesn't want to go to New York and she doesn't know how to tell Jack that. So maybe in a way she was trying to pawn Jack off on Toby to like give Jack like more of a life outside of her, maybe, kind of a thing.
That's a good theory.
But that's what all this has been about. And he's like, you don't have to go to New York. I support you. I like Drew. One thing that Joey says to Dawson is like, he humiliates me in front of everyone. And it's not even true. Like,
yeah.
I don't see him that way. I don't look down on him.
Yeah. That was heartbreaking.
The cast, just killing it left and right.
And then Jack comes and finds Toby. Toby's at the bow. What's the front of a boat?
That sounds right.
Off the port bow. That's from The Little Mermaid. He comes to find Toby and he's like, look, I'm sorry about earlier. You're right. I had feelings for you today and they surprised me. And I really looked at you and realized you're funny and handsome. And, you know, it scared me how, and Toby's like, how gay I am. And he's like, how out you are. And now I like that and I'm not afraid anymore. And then Jack kisses Toby.
Yeah, that was the moment.
That was a moment. How do you feel about this?
The kiss?
No, about Jack and Toby.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy for Jack.
I just really still don't like Toby.
I like the actor.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But yeah, he's a lot, but I supported Jack's storyline. I love seeing Jack. So in that respect, I like it.
And Jack's,
yeah. Yeah,
and Jack's, I think he's happy. He's got little butterflies.
He's making strides.
He is, yes. And it's nice to see him making the first move. Like, he was so petrified and terrified in the Ethan storyline, and he's come a long way. You know, he's more self-assured. He knows what he wants, and he goes for it. I think it's cute.
Yeah, I agree. Then we go to Dawson and Gretchen, and this is the big breakup scene.
Wild.
She's like, your heart is with Joey. And he's like, you told me to go to Joey. And he's like, you know, you don't belong with me. You belong here. I don't belong here. I need to go back to college, figure out what I'm doing. I need to go on with my life. You're going to California. I feel like he's not his usual Dawson self. Like, he fights for it a little bit, but not to like a delusional degree, I don't think. Do you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And Gretchen's like, look, you and Joey haven't resolved everything and I need to let you go. And he's like, what? You told me to go to her. And she's like, I know, but there's so many loose ends. Like, you have to figure it out.
She's basically saying, this is very high school. This is very high school drama. I don't belong here, but you do. Like, I think maybe she's been thinking, because she's talked about this before when she got caught up in their love triangle drama. I think she's just thinking, like, I have no right to ask you to, like, elevate yourself to be with me because you should be going through all of this. But
right.
I am old. I am 21, sir.
I gotta get out of here.
I'm an old hag.
She kisses him and that's that. Leaves him on the bow of the boat. Stern? I don't know.
Somebody
will know. And then Pacey finds Joey and Joey's crying on the boat. And it's tough, man. This is heartbreaking. Can you imagine? I mean, again, it's belly all over again. But like going to your senior prom in a relationship that you think is going really well and then having it completely implode. Oof.
No. Wild. He says, you know, last summer I gave you the boat. I gave you the best summer. I felt like I had so much to give you last year when I was, you know, pursuing you. But now I feel like I don't have anything to give you. I hate my own reflection. I don't even look in the mirror. And he says the reason he's been angry with her is because she wants to be with him in spite of that. And he feels like, why would you want to be with me when I'm like this? And that makes him resent her. So complex.
Yeah. The more Joey loves him, the more he hates her for it.
Hates her, yeah. Just props. Props to the writing team. Maggie Friedman.
Way to go. He's like, if we stay together, I'm just going to keep taking it out on you.
And then he says something like, you know, you're better than Capeside. You're going to leave Capeside, but I am Capeside.
And you deserve better.
Yeah.
She says, you break my heart into 1,000 pieces and say it's because I deserve better. Leave me alone. And he does. He leaves. It's really ballsy for both of these winners to break up with people on a boat that they can't get off of.
I know.
It's a nightmare scenario.
I love the parallels, but he says, you deserve better. And like you said, she says, leave me alone. You've done enough damage, sir. But that's the thing about Joshua Jackson. Like, I don't hate Pacey.
Yeah. Totally.
He's that good.
And the writers. It's a very nuanced situation.
Yeah. And then we go to the limo. Everyone's a disaster. Jack and Toby are kind of sitting. They're together. I think it's fair to say. Jen's passed out on Drew. Jack just goes to give Drew the $50. Drew doesn't want it. It's become more than a bet to him at some point throughout the night. Mm-hmm. Joey's sitting in the front. The look on Pacey's face is
brutal.
A lot. Yeah.
It's super awkward.
And then the limo driver asks if they want to go to the after party. And Joey's like, So where's your head at as far as you love Pacey and Pacey and Joey? And
yeah, you know, this is heartbreaking, obviously. I feel like I still was holding out hope that they would maybe mend fences before the end of the year. I feel like it's very high stakes, obviously, because people are going to be leaving town. Joey's going to be leaving town. So I think I wasn't quite like, oh, it's over. But this was a tough episode.
That's where you were when you first watched it. You thought, oh, okay.
I think so. Yeah. And now I feel like it's a little more obvious where things are headed.
Yeah. Well,
how did you feel? Do you remember at the time?
I'm sure I wanted Dawson and Joey to get back together at the time. I don't know if what I was trying to say in my past and present is I don't know if I picked up on the fact that the show was kind of putting them both back in the same place.
Sure.
Well, that's episode 420, Promicide. I know it's the episode we all dread, but it's a great episode. I mean, sorry.
It is a great episode. And coming off the last episode where we were talking about how, like, it was full of a million scenes and nothing felt fully fleshed, like, they go deep in this episode in a really great way.
Yeah, this episode was really well done. And it makes you feel things. It makes you feel sad and frustrated and nostalgic and...
Well, I think in lieu of a watch watching, I think next week we should talk about The Summer I Turned Pretty in depth. I know that it's, you know, we're taking a little time to digest it, but you know what I've been watching, which I never have watched before, High Potential, because friend of the pod Mackenzie's son was in the first two episodes.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. And do you like it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great for what it is.
Yeah. A lot of people like it.
I'm not like a network procedural
kind
of person, but I think it's good. Yeah. And I think he was great in it. It was really cute to see him.
Yes. Episodes 201 and 202.
Yeah. So rock on, Jack.
Check out High Potential on Hulu now.
Yes, absolutely.
What are we going to drink for next week? Episode 421, Separation Anxiety.
We will be drinking The Separation Anxiety.
Oh, I love that.
You will need creme de cassis, pimento dram, Peychaud's bitters, and Guinness. That's it. It sounds disgusting, but
yeah,
you know, do it for the pod. All right.
All right. Well, that's all I got for you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.